And as we prepare to hear together God's word from the Gospel of Mark, I invite you to join me in our prayer for illumination, which can be found on page 3 of your worship bulletin. Let us pray. God of life, your Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Your Spirit inspired the prophets and writers of Scripture. Your Spirit draws us to Christ and helps us to acknowledge Him as Lord. We ask that you will send your Spirit now to give us deeper insight, encouragement, faith, and hope through the proclamation of the Easter Gospel. Amen. Our gospel lesson for this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, reading verses 1 through 8. And as we read together, listen for what the Word of God is saying to you, in your lives, in your circumstances today, whatever they may be. Hear now the Word of the Lord. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Everyone loves a happy ending, don't you? Think back to the last Disney movie you saw. For us, it was Lilo and Stitch, just this morning, right, kids? We finished it this morning, that's right, early on Easter morning. It's a great Easter movie. But it's a happy ending, right? At the end of the movie, I hate to spoil it for you, but the little girl gets to keep the little weird alien dog-looking thing. It's Stitch, yeah, that's right. Holland is going to tell you all about it this morning. And it's a happy ending. We love happy endings. And if you think about all of those movies, whether it's Cinderella or whether it's Sleeping Beauty or whether it's The Lion King or Aladdin or, you know, you name it, if it's a Disney cartoon movie, it ends on a happy note. Things get a little dark in the middle, but by the end, it's happy. We would be really frustrated if the movie ended on a down note, right? Because we love happy endings, which is the reason why Mark's gospel story is so bewildering to us. It starts out just like every other gospel story at the end. Coming on the heels of Good Friday, Jesus has breathed his last on the cross, and he's taken down and placed into a tomb, and a large stone is rolled in front of it. Saturday, being the Jewish Sabbath, nothing happens. It's this day of rest for everyone. But early on the first day, three women set out. They buy spices in order that they might anoint Jesus' body in a final act of burial. And as they're going, they're taking care of all of these details, and they're wondering to themselves, who is going to roll the stone away for us? Mark is sure to tell us it's a really big stone. And it is. Maybe you've seen pictures of this before. It's a big, round stone that is sort of inside of a track, like a downhill track. And so it might be easy enough to roll it in front, but once it settles down into the groove, it's not moving. It's not meant to be moved. It's meant to be sealed like that. And so they do. They have this concern. How are they going to do this? But they set out anyway, hoping that maybe somewhere along the line, they are going to find someone to roll the stone away. Just like maybe we're hoping against all hope that the screens are actually going to work on Easter Sunday, like the day when we have these songs that we want to reflect on the most, thanks to our technical crew for getting that worked out. So when they arrive, they are bewildered because it's not what they're expecting to see. They go expecting to find a stone that they have to figure out how to roll away and a body that's been dead and is now decomposing to place some spices and balm on to prepare for its final burial. But what they find instead is a mysterious stranger, a young man dressed all in white. And he says to them, "Don't be alarmed." Now let me ask you something. If you went to visit the grave of a loved one, and you went, you found not what you were expecting to find, but instead like an empty spot in the mausoleum or an empty spot where the grave is supposed to be, would you be alarmed? I think I would be alarmed. It's not what you're expecting. But he says to them, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." This isn't the first time that they're hearing this. Jesus himself told them what was going to happen before it happened. But they didn't hear it. They couldn't fathom it. Look, nothing like this has ever happened before for them. Now, I find the angel's words very interesting. "Go and tell his disciples and Peter," especially Peter. Why single out Peter in this way? Well, let's think about where we last encountered Peter. If you were at a Good Friday service or a Maundy Thursday service this week, maybe you heard the story of Peter at the table of the Last Supper when Jesus says to his closest friends, "One of you is going to betray me and another of you is going to deny me." Peter says, "Not me. I will never deny you. In fact, I will die before I'll deny you." And Jesus says, "Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times." The next time we see Peter warming himself by a fire along with soldiers and servants while Jesus is on trial inside. And someone looks at him and says, "Hey, we've seen you somewhere before. Weren't you with that guy who's inside now on trial?" And Peter, who's going to die before he denies Jesus, says, "Who? I don't know him." Someone else says, "But of course you were with him. You even talk like him." Peter says, "No, not me." And someone else says, but we saw you with him. And Peter says, I don't know him. And as he speaks those words, the rooster crows, and Peter leaves weeping, full of guilt and full of shame. The angel singles out Peter to the women because Peter needs to hear the words that he's still one of Jesus' disciples and that Jesus is still expecting to see him in Galilee. In Galilee, the place where they're from, the place where in Mark's gospel all of Jesus' ministry has gone from. The place where Jesus preached, the place where Jesus healed people, the place where Jesus grew up, the place where Jesus' ministry happened is the place where Jesus is going to meet his disciples, in the place of ministry, in the place of discipleship. The fact that Jesus has risen means that the disciples are still disciples. Their mission is not a failed mission. Or is it? So the women are given these words from the angel. Go and give his disciples this message that he's going to meet them in Galilee just as he told them. And then a peculiar thing happens. The women, and I quote, trembling and bewildered, they went out and fled the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. All throughout the Gospel of Mark, Jesus has been preaching. And he's been healing people, and he's been working miracles, he's been casting out demons. And every time someone is healed, and every time a demon is cast out, and any time Peter says, you are the Christ, Jesus says, don't tell anyone. And then what do people do? They go and tell. They tell everyone they know. Jesus becomes famous, unintentionally, as this great healer, as this great person who casts out demons. Because the people go and tell even when Jesus says, don't do that. But now that the angel is saying, go and tell, their fearful and trembling response is to not tell anyone. And that's where Mark's gospel ends. At verse 8. There's nothing after that. Is that a happy ending? Kind of a weird ending, right? You want something even weirder? In Greek, the word because ends the sentence. In Greek, it's like they're saying, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. Filled with fear, they said nothing to anyone because... Now, teachers in the room, you know, you tell your students, you don't end a sentence with a preposition. And you don't end your story with because. The only time it's appropriate to end your story with because is if your kids ask you, why can't I do that? And then it's appropriate to say because. But otherwise, it's a weird way to end the gospel. In every other gospel, they go, Jesus appears to the disciples, we see the risen Jesus, but here in Mark, all we get is an empty tomb and fearful people who don't say anything because dot, dot, dot. Now, the early church thought, what a terrible ending. And so they took it upon themselves to write a new one. So if you look at Mark's gospel, there's 9 through 20 as well. But in your Bible, you'll see the most reliable early manuscripts and other ancient witnesses do not have Mark 16, 9 through 20. Why? Because Mark intended to end his gospel this way. Why? Why such a weird ending? Why does Mark do this? Maybe Mark wants to ask a question of his readers, of his hearers, of those who will hear this gospel proclaimed 2,000 years later. The women were fearful and didn't say anything. What will you do? If the sentence ends with because, what kind of ending will you write? How will you continue the story? How many times have we gathered together as a church on Easter Sunday and heard the Easter proclamation and heard the angel say, now go and tell his disciples, and have gone out and stayed silent and not told anyone? Maybe not because we're afraid, but for any number of reasons. There's a game to watch, or there are steaks to grill, or a turkey or a ham or something to have, or a house to get ready, or any number of different reasons. How often has our response been to stay quiet instead of accepting this invitation from the angel to go and tell that Jesus has gone ahead of us and is going to meet us in the place of ministry? Now, if you recall, all the way back when we first looked at the Gospel of Mark, months ago now at this point, Mark's Gospel begins the beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I wonder if Mark intends for all 16 chapters of this gospel to be the beginning of the gospel, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, and then for the church, and then for his disciples to go and continue the story, to write in our own lives what comes after the because. It's as if the angel said, don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. The ending of Mark's gospel is not an ending. It's a beginning. When I was graduating from high school and college and receiving the Eagle Scout Award and other things, I got sick of hearing that over and over again. Oh, this is not an ending, it's just a beginning, you know? You know, you graduate what you think is the last time, and the commencement speaker says, oh, actually, you haven't ended anything, you know, you're just beginning. It's like, really? How many times do I have to keep beginning? When can I just end? Well, the truth is, you don't end until you end. The end of the gospel is not the end, it's the beginning. The end of the sermon is not the end, even though you wish it might be. It's the beginning. The end of the worship service is the beginning of something new. The end of the gospel is the end of the beginning, but then it continues on in our lives with what we do as we live out our lives in faith, as we bear witness to the empty tomb, and as we go out and proclaim this in our words and in our deeds. It's the beginning of the good news. And in our lives, we continue the story. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Most holy God, we thank you for the good news of Jesus Christ, and that it represents for us a beginning of our ministry to bear witness to this Christ, to be his disciples, to learn from him, and then to continue following as he goes on ahead of us into the villages, into the neighborhoods, to the places where we live and work. Continue to call us, guide us, and direct us as your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed? You can find it in your bulletin or hopefully here up on the screens. People of God, what do we believe? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.